The following podcast is taken from my video blog, which you can find under the same name and the Recruitment Podcast channel on YouTube. Hi, I'm Rhys Jones. Welcome to my latest podcast, How to Value a Recruitment Business. The reason why I'm doing it today is I've done a few podcasts on how to grow a business to sell, how to sell a recruitment business. So on that subject, I tend to get quite a few messages from people who say, I've got a recruitment business, I'd like to sell it. Can you help me, please? But unfortunately, I don't do that. What I do is I build businesses so you can sell them. What I don't do is sell them. The people who do that are corporate financiers. I'm not a corporate financier. However, what I can do is do a podcast to explain how you can value your recruitment business. Now, it's a bit more sophisticated for the sort of people that are likely to message me, because the people that message me tend to be more SME business owners. Because if you are the owner of a large recruitment business that is turning over in excess of £1 million EBITDA profit, EBITDA stands for earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, which basically to you and me is profit before corporation tax. So if it's more than £1 million profit, then you should be able to talk to a corporate financier. You probably know what you're doing anyway. You might have had some solicited approaches, so you know you don't necessarily need my help. So the poor sort of people that they contact me are SME business owners and micro business owners, and that is a little bit more difficult to value. So let me explain. So if you're looking at selling your recruitment business, if you, as I mentioned earlier, if you have a business that turns over £1 million or more, you would probably appeal to either a trade sale, so another recruitment company or a group, or also a venture capitalist or a private equity buyer. Now, those sort of people, they are a lot more sophisticated. They know what they're looking for, and it's going to be a lot easier to value. But also, your market is a lot wider, because rather than just trade sales, you also have the venture capitalist and private equity. So that is a wider market. But also, if your business is turning over or either is making more than £1 million a year profit, the chance that it's built well. Otherwise, it won't be £1 million profit. So if it's built well, it's easier to value because it hasn't got the eccentricities you might have for the smaller business. But also, if you get to £1 million profit, by that point, really what you would expect is the owner of the business could be in a position where they could promote somebody to run it, a managing director or CEO or something like that, because the business will be worth considerably more if they're not in it. Because what people buy when they buy the business, what they're looking for and the overriding thing that values your business is it secure? Because what people are looking to, if they're going to spend a significant amount of money, so if it's £1 million profit, you can be looking at anything from £4 million to £60 million worth of business if it's a contract business, is they want something that they know is secure. Because recruitment business has a lot of aspects that value it. You know, there's things like branding, database, marketing, all that kind of stuff. However, you're buying people. Because recruitment business is full of people. That's what it is. It's through recruitment consultants. Now, the thing is, recruitment consultants are transient by nature. So they can go and join another recruitment company tomorrow. So what you haven't got within your business, you're not like Apple, where you know, you've got an iPhone and people work there because it's got this specific thing. It's your recruitment business. You've got a phone, you know, you've got your computer, you've got your chair. You know, there's nothing magical about that. So what they don't want is a situation where, you know, people could move en masse. The bigger the business, the less chance people are going to move en masse. Obviously, if you have a smaller business, then that is a bit more risky. So what people value in buying a recruitment business is something that is secure. Now, I've covered this in some of my previous podcasts about how you value recruitment business and the things that make it secure. Now, things like having low staff attrition, if you have a good brand in the marketplace, if you have things like decent marketing, decent CRM, if you have your clients spread nicely rather than all your eggs in one basket, if you have a strong management team, all these sort of things make the business more secure, and that's what adds the value. So when you come to valuing a business of, say, £1 million plus, all that should hopefully be in place. Now, the sort of people that contact me are the people that are further down there. So maybe people that have got £500,000 profit business. Now, what I'd like to say at this point is if you have a business that is making £500,000 a year profit, you'll be able to use a good corporate financier to market your business out there, try and find a suitable buyer. If it's less than £500,000, then you're probably going to struggle to get a good corporate financier to work on it. The reason being is they charge a fee based on the value of the sale. So if the business is less than £500,000, they're probably not going to see the sufficient value in it for them to take on board this sale. Now, the thing is, the difference with the corporate financier is it's not they just advertise or they take it to market and sell it. They take you through the process. Now, trust me, I've been there. The process is fucking complicated and fucking hard work, and you want somebody who knows their shit to hold your hand and walk you through it, which is why you want a good corporate financier. If your business is
he's making less than £500,000 profit, then there are businesses out there, and I don't want to slang them off, but they will take it on, and they'll, but they're more of a marketing business and they're less likely to walk you through the process. But also added to that, if your business is making less than £500,000 profit, then it's about finding the right buyer. Because if your business is making less than £500,000 profit, it's going to be a lot smaller, so therefore it's less secure, isn't it? So there's got to be a reason why somebody wants to buy it. And it probably will be a strategic reason why they want to buy it. It might be they want to get into that market. It might be they want an international business. But it's going to be harder to find because you're looking for a specific type of buyer who wants your business. So at that sort of level, the varies can value a lot more. Now, just to touch on the valuations, if you look at a perm business, you're looking at, say, 4x EBITDA. If you look at a contract business, it's more sort of 8 to 12. Now, if it's somewhere in between, obviously contract part perm, then it'll somewhere in between. Now, those sort of ratios are seen as a good bar for what your business is worth. Now, where that changes, if your business is much, much bigger, you like to get a better multiple than that. So if it's just a perm business, if it's, let's say, £500,000 profit, it might be 4x. But if it's making £20 million profit, you might get 5, 6, or 7x. Again, because it's a lot more secure. And this is where the private equity, so venture capitalists, come in. Because what they'll do is, because obviously their job as a private equity venture capitalist is tend to buy businesses and try and sell them for more. Now, one of the strategies that quite often they will use is they'll buy a business, and they'll say buy it 4x, and they'll buy lots of other businesses 4x, and they'll add them all together. When they buy them all together, rather than being lots of businesses, say, making £5, £1 million, that sort of bracket, add them all together, £100 million, it's then worth 6 or 7x. So all those businesses have gone up by about 50%, and that's what they do. So if you're in that £1 million plus bracket, then you can appeal to the venture capitalist. Now, the thing that is also a critical thing, if it's a venture capitalist or a private equity or even a trade buyer that's looking to add that business to an existing business or a group that's been undervalued, is culture. It's a culture fit. Because what they'll need is they'll need a business they're buying that's going to fit the group or the other business they're going to join it to. So let's say, for example, you've got one business, it's quite corporate, you know, they're working 8 till 6, you know, they wear suits, they all work from the office, that kind of thing. And then you've got another business, and it's completely different. It's all flexible work. People turn up in jeans and t-shirt or shorts or whatever, and it's a different culture altogether. Now, how long do you think it's going to last when you join these two businesses together before, let's say, you know, the bigger business is the corporate, the smaller business is the more, you know, laid back, sort of flexible working one? Those sort of people aren't going to fit into that, are they? So it's not as secure then, is it? So a would-be buyer will look at it and go, okay, the culture fit is right. That is going to make it insecure, so I'm not going to buy it. So the culture fit is very important when you look at evaluation. The other thing that matters about evaluation is, rather than it just being about profit, it's about what trajectory is the business on. So let's say, for example, it's been making £1 million profit, and gradually over 5 years, it's now £500,000 profit. Do you think that's going to be as desirable as a business that's maybe making £500,000 profit, but the previous 3 years it's gone £200,000, £300,000, £400,000, £500,000 profit? So it's going somewhere. So the trajectory, that makes a difference as well. Is it that kind of prospect where you think it's going to carry on growing? The other thing that matters is when you're doing your valuation, rather, is, and again, it's another thing that people forget. They go, all right, my business is turning over £500,000 profit. Okay, so when you leave, somebody's going to have to do your job. How much are you going to have to pay them? Now, the thing is, if you're going to pay somebody to run that kind of business, you might be, say, £100,000, £150,000 to pay somebody to run that business. So that then takes the £500,000 down to, say, £400,000 or £350,000. So if you look at 4x profit, that's a massive difference. That really takes the valuation down. And that's one of the things that people tend to forget is whether they need to get replaced. Now, if you're smart and you've got to the situation where you virtually exited the business and you've got somebody running it for you, then okay, that doesn't really matter. But it's something that people do tend to forget, is you've got to take that seller off the valuation. So anyway, when you're looking to sell a business, like I say, you need a corporate financier to come in and they look at the value of the business. Now, what they'll do is, when they market the business, they put something together called an information memorandum, which is quite difficult to say, but I managed to do it first time, so I'm really pleased about that. And what it is, it goes into great detail about the business in more of a data form. So they can give a pack to would-be buyer that explains in detail you know, the staff attrition, the numbers, it goes back, the accounts last 5 years. I mean, I went through it, and honestly, I can't tell you what's in it because I can't remember, but I know it took about 3 months to put together, and it was bloody horrible. But because it honestly got the stuff they need to know. However, it was an education in itself, because what it does, it obviously educated me at the time as to what a would-be corporate financier would want to see in that pack, and also why they want it. Because the things that a buyer will want and the corporate financier will want to see are things that add value to the business. You know, it's things like low staff attrition. You know, how many? What's your client spread like? You know, all the sort of data that they can look at and go, okay, these things tell us it's a business that's worth something. So then when I work with the business I work with now, I almost sort of retrofit that and help put these things in place to make the business worth more. So they'll put together an information memorandum, and then when they go to market and they approach the businesses, they have to sign a non-disclosure agreement to get this information memorandum to find it in more detail about the business from the data side of it. And that's the sort of document they have before you go to the buyer's meetings. Now, I've been to buyer's meetings, and I've got to be honest with you, I fucking hate them. Because you built this business, and it's your baby. And then you go up, and you sit in front of usually a few people, and they're grilling about your business, and they're pulling it apart. And it just feels like, almost like you've gone back to school. But this is a business, it's your baby, you built it. And you know it's not fun in those sort of meetings. Now, I've got to say, you know, my business wasn't a £100 million profit business. So I think further up the food chain, it's slightly different. But nevertheless, there's still not a great deal of fun. And you do get some tire kickers, you know, some chances that are wanting to meet you to find out about your business because they want to find out about the business. So, you know, those sort of meetings can't be a lot of fun. But then when it gets to the stage where they've made an offer, that's when your corporate financier comes in and discusses the offer with them. Because again, if you know, if you're going back to the valuation, say somebody says, right, I'm prepared to pay you $3 million. They're not going to give you a check and then you're gone. You know, 9 times out of 10, they'll have some sort of either earn out, so you stay in the business while there's a transition, or it'll be linked to how much profit it's going to make over the next 3 years. So when you sell a business, you put together a projection. Virtually all will be buyers will say, I'll give you, let's say, £3 million on the basis that it hits those projections. If it doesn't hit those projections, I'll pay you half or less or whatever. So there'd be some sort of negotiation there about what you're actually going to get. So when I get people that approach me and saying, okay, I've built a business and I want to sell it, Reece, can you help me? And I sell a cat, but I can put you in touch with the corporate financier. What I tend to do is ask a few questions to find out if it's actually worth passing on to a corporate financier. Because if the business, like I say, is I mean, it's got 10 staff, it's making 350 grand profit, and I say to the person who wants to sell it, do you still bill? Oh, yeah, I still bill. So how much do you bill? Oh, yeah, I bill 150 grand. Okay, and you still run the business? Yeah. So you take 150 grand off that, and then you've got to spend 100 grand to get somebody in to do your job. So they might be making 150 grand profit. Okay, well, who's going to buy that? You know, and it's not as easy as people think valuing a business to selling it, because it's not quite often worth what you think it is. And this is why I wanted to do this podcast, is to explain how you value a business, and more specifically, if you go further down towards the SMA style, because that's when it is a bit more difficult to value the business, and it's a bit more difficult to find somebody that wants to buy it. And also, if it's at that level, it's likely to be a trade sale, so there's a big culture match that goes with it. So that's when it becomes, again, you come into the sort of beauty parade when you go into the buyer's meetings, and there's all about a culture fit. Because I had a situation where I went to a buyer's meeting myself and my business partner at the time, went to the buyer's meeting, and I had on, not being flash, but I was into looking the part, because one of the businesses, we had two businesses, was an executive search business. So I had a Savaro suit on, cost me $3,000, really nice, three-piece grey suit, but I didn't have a shirt on. My business partner, he had a suit on, but he had a V-neck sweater underneath and a tie. Anyway, the people that came back said, we don't want to buy the business because it's an executive search business. But the two owners weren't dressed for executive search because one of them didn't have a tie on, one of them had a sweater on. Now, what a pile of bolts that was. To be fair, because they had the suits on, they had the ties, they didn't have the sweater, but it looks like they were Burton suits and they slept in them. And that's the sort of thing that you've got to go through. Needless to say, we weren't exactly disappointed that we didn't get an offer from those people. But, you know, so it's not easy. It's not easy. So I hope this helps in looking at how you value a business. Oh, there's a few other things I actually wanted to mention. Is if you are going to look at the value in your business, just because it's valuable to you, you've got to think about, is it valuable to somebody else? Now, if you are looking at, let's say, a smaller business that maybe it's 10 or less staff, then, you know, is somebody going to want to buy that, and how much they're prepared to pay for it? Now, the thing is, with that sort of size of business, you could probably go out and either hire a team, which is going to be considerably less, or build it yourself. So your business isn't quite as special as you might think it will be, because they're going to attach it to another business anyway. So if that's the sort of level you're looking at and you're looking to sell it, you probably need a bit of a wake-up call that that isn't really going to happen. So if you do have this idea you want to grow a business to sell, you probably need to start talking to maybe a non-exec or somebody who's been through the process about what sort of level it needs to be before it's even sellable. And I would say you really need to be looking at £500,000 to £1 million profit for it to be sellable. And that's excluding what it's going to take to replace your salary, excluding any billings. And that's the sort of level you need to be looking at. Now, I have done another video blog podcast that's about how to sell a recruitment business, and also, is it a good idea? And in that, I question whether, do you really want to sell the business? Because once you get to the point where the business doesn't need you there, and you're going to get a 4x profit, 6x profit, it might be, and you can go on to, let's say, live in the south of France, and somebody else runs it for you, what, do you really want to sell it? Because in the next 4 to 6 years, you'll get that money back, and you'll still own it. Whereas if you sell it to somebody else, one, there's the stress of going through the sale, and also you're not guaranteed to get all the money, because if they take over your business, they're in charge of that business, aren't they? So things could go wrong. You run it well, and everybody's happy. Somebody else comes in, and if they start shaking a few trees and upsetting people, before you, people can leave. So you're not going to get your money's worth. So in that video blog, it does go through, okay, what is the rationale to building a business to sell, and do you actually want to sell it? Now, what we're not going to do is go over that, because obviously you can watch that or listen to that and find out. But that might be something, if you have an aspiration to sell your business, it might make you second think, okay, is there a better way to extract value from a business? Could you do an MBO, for example? But is there a better way rather than going out to a sale? Anyway, I'll keep this short. I always do my video blogs and podcasts. I hope that's helped of how to value recruitment business. And I will be doing more follow-ups on the subject of selling a recruitment business. So if you do like this, obviously, like it, subscribe. You can also direct message me. We'll put you on a mailing list. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you soon.